If you will, turn your Bibles to Romans in the 8th chapter. We've been studying, going through Romans for the past couple of years. It hasn't been about that long, right? We got through verses 1 through 4 last week, finished that up. We'll start on the next section. Life in the Spirit. The Spirit changes our nature and empowers us for victory. We'll learn how the Word of God changes our life and how all that works. That'll be verses 5 through 13. We'll read all of chapter 8, the first part of chapter 8 down to 13, so we'll get all the context. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we'll see where the power of the Spirit helps us live a life that's glorifying to God. The first part, we found out that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We feel conviction of sin when we sin, but there's no condemnation. God has removed that through the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil would rather let us think on condemnation and keep running in that circle, so we never feel that or experience that forgiveness. But the Bible plainly says that that condemnation is removed, not just now, but forever. We'll never have our sins come back and condemn us anymore because of what Christ has done. Also talked about being justified. Our standing before God has been changed. Before, we were unrighteous. We were unholy. God's wrath abode upon us. And so God justified us. He made us righteous. He changed our standing before God so that we could stand in His presence. Christ then, in verse 3, says that He became our substitute. Instead of us going to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins, as it should have been, and going to hell, that's what we deserve, Christ came and died in our stead, and saved us from the wrath of God that would have condemned us. And then in verse 4, we found out about the work of sanctification. If one is justified by the blood of Christ, then we are sanctified. That is, we're made a holy people unto the Lord. Now, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so we have to be made holy or sanctified. Now He's going to begin talking to us a little bit more about what the Spirit does in our life. We see through the first 7 chapters, I think He's mentioned one time. I think He's mentioned 20 times in the 8th chapter. So we'll end up knowing a lot about the Holy Spirit when we get through with this. The spiritual richness, both theological and practical, of this chapter is beyond calculation and surpasses adequate comment. When read by a believer with an open mind and an open heart, it is incredibly enriching. And by the way, when we read the Bible, we ought to always read it with an open mind and an open heart. That's how God would have us approach the Scriptures. It is one of the supreme life-changing chapters in Scripture. It moves along in an everlasting, ever-ascending course, concluding in the marvelous tribute of praise and assurance. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how sure our salvation is. There's nothing that will ever take us out of Jesus Christ once we've come to a believing, saving relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit is mentioned but once in the first seven chapters of Romans, but is referred to nearly 20 times in chapter 8. The Spirit is to a believer what God the Creator is to the physical world. Without God, the physical world would not exist. It has been created and is continually sustained by the omnipotent power of God. That is God being all powerful. That's what omnipotence is. So the Holy Spirit, who also, of course, participated in the creation of the world, is to the Christian. The Holy Spirit is the divine agent who creates, sustains, and preserves spiritual life in those who place their trust in Jesus Christ. That tells us that the Holy Spirit's job is to keep us and the care of Christ. He guides us, directs us. We'll talk about all the things that He does in just a minute, but sustaining us and preserving us. The reason He preserves us is that we can persevere and do good works to the glory of God. Not good works to be saved, but rather we do good works because we are saved and because it glorifies God. It is the Holy Spirit who ultimately will bring every believer into the full consummation of the salvation by granting him eternal glory in the presence of God. That'll be an ultimate thing. That's the reason we look for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize He's come once as the Lamb of God. We look for Him now to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as He comes back to take us before God, and then in that process bring us before Him and give us a body formed and fashioned for heaven itself. That's part of the Holy Spirit's work. It should be made clear that the Holy Spirit is not merely an influence or an impersonal power emanating from God. He is a person. A lot of times we say the Holy Spirit, and I think we get in the habit of not recognizing as part or as a person, but it's really Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity, equal in every way to God the Father and God the Son. The doctrine of God's being one essence, yet existing in three persons, is one of the most certain truths in Scripture. Yet the Holy Spirit is often not respected as every bit as much as the divine person as the Father and the Son. Someone took Charles Stanley one time in his earlier youth in his ministry, and he preached on the subject of the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit, and kept calling him, referring to him as the, and this preacher got him after service and took him to his library. He's preaching at his church, and he said he sat down for about 2 hours and got down different books and handed them to Charles, and every one of them said, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. He wanted him to recognize that he was a person and not the Holy Spirit, not a thing. We have that tendency to do that. But He's Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity. Somebody said, explain the Trinity. I can't explain it to you. The Bible says it's so, and I believe the Bible. It's just a great mystery, as many things are, as salvation is. Salvation's a great mystery. Among the most many characteristics of personhood that Holy Spirit possesses and manifests are these. He functions with mind, emotion, and will. So we're able to do what God commands us in the Word of God because our minds have been changed, been influenced by the Holy Spirit. Our emotions and our will, we don't want to sin any longer, although we do from time to time, but mainly our will because we've been saved because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said as he left to go to be with the Father, he said, I leave and I go to be with the Father, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I send the Holy Spirit and he will guide you in the way of all truth. So the Holy Spirit guides us in the way of all truth. We don't have another guide. If somebody else says they're guiding you, you better be careful. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us in the way of all truth. He loves the saints. That's proven time and time again as we read the Word of God and we see what great lengths God went to save us from our sins. Great, marvelous thing that God planned our salvation and completed it. The Bible says in Philippians, what he began, he will also finish. So we have comfort in knowing that the Holy Spirit will finish that. He said he communicates with the saints. He teaches them, we just said that a while ago, and guides them, comforts us, and chastens them too. Sometimes we need to be chastened. We'll sin, and when we do, Hebrews says that God doesn't chasten bastards. That is none of his. But he does chasten us because he loves us. And the reason he chastens us is to work in us the peaceable fruits of righteousness. That is, that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He can be grieved, quenched, lied to, tested, resisted, and blasphemed. All these things can happen to the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of his omniscience, that is, of his omnipresence, of being everywhere at one time, his omnipotence, his being all-powerful, his omnipresence, being everywhere at one time, omniscience is being all-powerful, got that mixed up, and his divine glory and holiness. He is called God, Lord, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Yahweh or Jehovah, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Jesus, and the Comforter and Advocate for believers. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit was fully active when the Father and Son in the creation and that he has been with all believers and enabled and empowered them even before the day of Pentecost. In other words, what he's saying there is Old Testament believers were born again just like we were. It took faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They experienced it in a different way than we do. but he enabled and empowered them with God the Father in the beginning, in the creation. If we read in Genesis in the first chapter, it talks about them creating as the Trinity. We see that being there in the beginning. He has always been convicting men of sin, giving salvation to those who truly believed, and teaching them to worship, obey, and serve God rightly. The Bible tells us that here in Romans, as we get to it further on, it'll use a phrase that we're being conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does that. He conforms us to Christ. How is that? We study the Word of God. We begin seeing the shortcomings in our lives. We see what the Scriptures say about that. We implement those Scriptures in our lives. We change the way we live. And as we do that, then we glorify God the Father. The Holy Spirit enables us to do that. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, I believe verse 18, it says every day to be filled with the Spirit. That enables us to serve God in the manner that he desires to be mannered, which is in spirit and in truth. He has always been convicting men of sin, giving salvation to those who truly believe, and teaching them to worship, obey, and serve God rightly. The Holy Spirit has been the divine agent who uniquely came upon God's servants and inspired sovereignly chosen men to pen God's Word. That's the reason we believe the Word of God is inspired by God. There's 40 different men that wrote the Bible, and yet it's inspired by God, every bit of it. That's the reason we can go to one book, another book, and another book, compare Scripture, and it tell us the truth of what the Word of God is. So we believe that God inspired the Word, and there's nothing outside of the Bible that should influence us. It's good to read other books, but this is the book. This is the one that's going to tell us how to live our lives. True believers have always served God, not by human might or power, but by the Holy Spirit, according to Zechariah 4:6. The Spirit was involved in Jesus' conception as a human being, and in Jesus' baptism, anointing, temptation, teaching, miracles, death, and resurrection. You'll remember when Mary first got the word that she was going to conceive a Holy One. It says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and planted the seed of God in her womb, and she brought forth her son. His name was Jesus Christ. She was a virgin that brought forth a son. That's impossible with men, but with God all things are possible. We believe that. Well, we hold to that fact that it was a virgin birth. That way we know that the seed was of God, and the lineage was on Mary's side. And that fulfilled Scripture. Since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has in his fullness indwelt all believers, illuminating their understanding and application of God's word, as well as empowering them for sanctification in a greater way than they have ever occurred before. He fills them, seals them, communes with them, fellowships with them, intercedes for them, comforts them, admonishes them, sanctifies them, and enables them to resist sin and to serve God. In the present passage in Romans 8, 5 through 13, Paul continues to disclose the innumerable results of justification, specifically the marvelous Spirit-wrought benefits of freedom from condemnation. In verse 2 and 3, he has discussed the Spirit's freeing us from sin and death, and in verse 4, his enabling us to fulfill God's law. In verses 5 through 13, Paul reveals that the Spirit also changes our nature and grants us strength for victory over the unredeemed flesh. In the coming weeks, we'll read about the Holy Spirit changing our very nature. And so we have the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We are taught daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That enables us to do what God would have us to do, and that is to glorify His holy and righteous name. God, help us to understand that, as my prayer, for Christ's sake.